And have a seat this morning. Well, hey, we want to say we're so glad that you guys are here. My name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor, and we are in this teaching series called The Grave Robber. This series is based off of a book by a pastor named Mark Batterson, who's down in D.C. area, and they are just knocking it out of the park there. There are literally thousands of people who are coming to Jesus in Washington, D.C., and so we are just so excited about what they are doing. But in this book, he writes about the grave robber. And the idea is that God is still doing miracles, right? And we have been challenging us as a church, whether you're here in the room or whether you're joining us online, to be in prayer and fasting for these 21 days. And as we wrap this up, the challenge was, what was the miracle or what is the thing that you need Jesus to do in this coming calendar year, in the year of 2021? But every week, what we have done is we've reminded ourselves that we are not to seek miracles. That is not our goal. That's not our purpose. Our purpose, that we're called to seek the one who creates the miracles, and that is Jesus. And we need to make sure that we stay focused on seeking Jesus first and foremost. And as Mark says in his book, he tells us that if we follow Jesus long enough, you will find yourself in the middle of a miracle. It's just going to happen. So we are praying, and I hope that you are continuing to pray and seek God even after these 21 days are over for what God has for us. Today, as we wrap up this series, here's the question. Here's the scenario that I want you to put yourself in. How do you deal with the tension that comes when your plan doesn't seem to be working the way you planned? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the frustration? How do you, what do you do with that anxiety that comes when all of a sudden you feel like, oh no, I'm out of control, I can't? What do you do with the anger that shows up? How do you deal with that? Because it's not working out according to the way that you had planned. Or here's another scenario. How do you deal with the tension that comes when you submit to someone else's plan over your plan and their plan goes sideways? How do you deal with that? See, I told you, should have listened to me, should have taken my plan. What did I tell you? What do you do with that tension that's there? Well, today, in our text, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that we can live in the tension of our plan and the reality of God's. That this is possible. And we're going to see right from our text today, that you're going to have a plan, but God has another plan. And this creates tension. And in the characters of this real life story that we hear from the Apostle John, who writes this, he's an eyewitness of all of this that has happened. He's writing it down. And he's going to show us how we can live in this tension. Now, we are going to John chapter 11, so take your Bibles. I hope that you'll take your Bibles and go to John chapter 11. Whether you have a hard copy, whether you have it's on your phone, open up. I want you to see this right from the Scriptures. And today, we are going to read more verses than we typically do. So don't get lost in the reading, but there's just so much here to tell the full story. And let me be clear that the reason John is writing this, the purpose that John is trying to get across, is that in this specific miracle, because we've been looking at these miracles that Jesus does, here, this is the pinnacle of all miracles. This is the pinnacle of him bringing a dead person back to life. This is where he brings Lazarus back to life. This is the ultimate miracle, and it will be just days before he ends up at the cross because of this miracle. And John tells us the reason why this is here in the context. Here's the point of John chapter 11: to prove to you and to prove to us that he really is the Messiah, that he really is the Son of God, that Jesus actually has the power over life and death. And he will not only demonstrate it in the person of Lazarus, but he himself will live this out when he is crucified. So it's, Lazarus rising from the dead is symbolic, though, for you and I. It's symbolic in the sense that you and I all need this miracle. This is a miracle that every person needs. It's called the resurrection miracle. It's the miracle of coming from being dead, coming back to life. You say, well, what does that mean? I'm not dead. But we are dead spiritually. We all at one time were dead spiritually. But the resurrection of life came when you placed your faith in Jesus. And then all of a sudden inside of you, in that song we sang this, all of a sudden you felt your heart start beating again. That's when you really came to life. Oh, you were alive physically, but spiritually you and I were dead. And then when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, all of a sudden that resurrection happens. We come back. We are spiritually alive. We're no longer separated from God. That's spiritual death, being separated from God, and He brings new life. That's the point of John chapter 11. But in this story, we're going to see tension. And I want you to pay attention to the different characters that John tells us about the tension, that the plan wasn't working the way that they had thought it was supposed to work. And then how do we live in that tension? In verse number 1, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend, don't you love this? I just love this. These sisters write the note, you know, or they text Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, your dear friend, not my brother, right? They're putting the onus, the burden on him. Your dear friend is very sick. You know, the one that you came and hang out with, the one that you had dinner with, the one, you know how close we are, Jesus, but this is your dear friend. He is sick. But when Jesus heard it, you know, finally his phone buzzes, right? He pulls it out. You know, he gets the message on dove's leg or something. I don't know. But the pigeon, I mean, I guess doves didn't carry notes. It was pigeons. When Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness. You know, he's talking to the disciples. When Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Jesus tells us exactly why this is happening. No, it happened for the glory of God. You see that? God works out His plans, His plan, for His glory, not yours and not mine. So it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, John, don't forget, this is John. John knows exactly how Jesus demonstrated the love of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He knows how close and how tight they were. And John is telling us, although Jesus loved them, what does he do? He gets up and immediately jets down there. No, in verse number 6, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He didn't call an Uber. You know, he didn't call for the next camel, get the fastest camel. No, he stayed right where he was at for 2 days, which must have felt like an eternity because he was at least 2 days away. Could have been more. And before Jesus ever even got the message, so there's a lot of time here that's going by. But Jesus stays right where he's at for 2 days. Finally, John says, finally. We're like, what are we going to do? Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Now watch the tension. But his disciples objected. Here we get the first sense of some tension is happening. The disciples who are surrounding him are like, and don't forget John was there. He knew the tension. He's like, we the disciples, almost like in one voice, we're like, Rabbi, you know, they're talking to Jesus. That only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going back there? Because we're not. Because that's not our plan. Our plan is to stay right where we are outside of the city of Jerusalem. We're not going back there. We're going to stay in our comfort zone. This is our plan. This is only human nature. Your plan and my plan always is about our comfort, about our protection. This is your plan and my plan, this is a tension that we live in when God calls us to do something that might be a little bit risky, that might be put you out there. You may feel, in your mind you're thinking, but I'd feel stupid if I said that. You want me to go tell that person about you? What? No, that's not my plan, Jesus. My plan is to stay here where I'm safe. So their plan was to stay right where they are. And Jesus replied back, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. And, you know, they're probably like scratching their head like, what are you trying to say, Jesus? And then all of a sudden, John chapter 8 kicks in and they remember, oh, Jesus said that he's the light of the world and why he's here. He is to be the light. And then he passes that off onto every disciple, every Christ follower, that you and I are called to be light every day, every day that we are living here, no matter where you are, if it's night or day, you are called to be light. There's going to be one day where you and I can't be light. Jesus knew he was days away from leaving. And he's like, while I'm here, I'm going to live on purpose. You have a purpose and I have a purpose. And that's to bring honor and glory to God. That's our purpose. So it matters the way that you live. Live every day with purpose. Now, he goes on. And then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better, right? Here's the pushback. Right? Don't bring us back there. Don't bring us out of our comfort zone. You know what's going to happen if we go back there. And they're thinking, if he's sleeping, here's their logic. If he's sleeping, why the body is sleeping? The body regenerates itself. It brings healing to itself. Let him sleep, Jesus. Let him sleep. And they thought, Did I skip it? Oh my goodness. There we go. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Can you hear it in the story? Dum, dum, dum. Right? So Lazarus is dead. What's going to happen next? And for your sakes. Jesus says, but for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Again, tension. Again, like, what confusion. We don't understand. He's like, for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. You see, all of a sudden, the disciples took their plan and they brought it into submission. They left it. They said, okay, God, we'll take your plan. We will bring the way that we thought this was going to turn out. We're going to bring it under your plan. We'll submit. We'll go. And we know that because Thomas, who was nicknamed the twin, said this to his fellow disciples. Let's go too. And notice their faith. They thought they were going to die, and we're going to die with Jesus. That's what they thought. They thought, man, this is it. Here we go. The tension. You see, how do we live in the tension of our plan versus God's plan? We just come into submission and realize all of a sudden it clicked with these disciples. God must be doing something that we don't understand, that we don't recognize. God's doing something. Man, we've got to be there. We've got to be a part of this. We're just going to trust that Jesus knows what he is doing. This is how you can respond when your plan doesn't work out the way that you thought, when life doesn't go, when the marriage doesn't go like you thought, when the relationship doesn't go like you thought, when the kids don't go like you had planned and what you had hoped for and what you had prayed for, when all of that doesn't happen, you can trust that God is still writing a story. You can trust that God is still at work because Jesus is always at work. And now what happens? They end up in Jerusalem or outside of Jerusalem in Bethany, just 2 miles away. And there, Jesus shows up in the city. Martha and Mary, they heard that Jesus had come. Martha leaves the house. Mary stayed in the house. Martha went out to go find Jesus. And look what she said. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you hear this? This is God, Jesus, my plan was for you to show up immediately, that you would have been here, and that Lazarus would not have died, my brother wouldn't have died. That was my plan. What does she do with the tension? She brings it to Jesus. She verbalizes it directly to Jesus. She shares her frustration. She shares her disappointment. Do you take your frustration and your disappointment and share it with Jesus? How much of the Psalms are like, God, where are you? This is what we are to do with that tension that we have. We're to bring it to Him. That's exactly what Martha is doing. And then in the very next verse, we see, or in the very same breath, she comes and she says this, but even now that it hasn't worked out the way I thought, even now I'm so frustrated, I'm so sad, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, whatever. Even now, I know that God's going to give you whatever you ask. I know that God's got this bigger plan. I know I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to bring myself to that. I'm going to surrender to whatever it is that you are doing because I don't understand it. Then Jesus responds. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And all of a sudden now, Martha wants to enter into this theological discussion about resurrection. And Martha responds back, yes. Whoops. Yeah, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And how come I... There you go. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. So there's that theological discussion about our bodies, our souls, you know, and when's all that going to happen, right? So she brings that up, and then Jesus, man, he just comes back, and he's like, no. He's like, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone, did you hear that? Anyone. Not just a certain sect of people, not just, you know, the good people, not just the bad people. You know, not this is anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. This is the resurrecting. This is why we can sing that about that resurrecting power, because you, the moment that you believe, the moment that you put your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus, the moment that you accept that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that He took on your judgment for your sin and He took it up on that cross, and there He died for it, and then He resurrected again. The moment that you believe that, that's the moment that your life begins. And Jesus says, you will never die, and even after dying, you're going to continue to live. You will never die. This is why we can sing resurrecting, because this is what that is all about. And then again, Jesus goes on, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus gets personal, because this is personal. And Jesus says, do you believe this, Martha? It's personal because you can't count on grandpa and grandma's faith just because they went to church and they brought you to church. You cannot count on your parents' faith just because they brought you to church, just because you got baptized. No. It's about what do you do with your faith? Have you placed your faith? Do you believe this, Martha? Here's what I want us to do. I want everyone in this room and everyone who's watching online with us right now. What I'm going to do is I want us to repeat this. Do you believe this? And instead of saying Martha, I want you to insert your name. So for me, it's going to sound like this. Do you believe this, Rick? And on three, when I say that, then what we're going to hear is a bunch of names. And if you're at home joining us, then just say, you know, say the phrase with us and put your name in there. If you're by yourself, say it anyway. You say, people think I'm crazy. My neighbors in the apartment next door will think, you know, who's he talking to? Nobody's over there. Don't worry about it. Come on. Just join in with us on three. One, two, three. Do you believe this, Rick? Martha said, yes. Yes, Lord. Even though it hasn't worked out the way that I was praying it was going to work out, even though you didn't show up, even though my plan is not, you know, I'm so frustrated, I'm so angry, even though all of that, Martha turns around and she says, yes, Lord. And with this confidence, I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Do you see that even though she's disappointed, even though that she is frustrated, she still can have a confident faith? Do you have a confident faith? that even though it hasn't worked the way that you wished that it would work, even though life hasn't gone, even though you didn't get the job, even though you have no idea how you're going to pay the bill, even though you have no idea how forgiveness is going to come and restoration is going to happen, we can still have confidence in the faith of the one that has saved us. Now, Martha goes home and says, hey, the teacher wants you, the rabbi wants you. So Mary goes running out. She finds him outside. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, what does she do? She falls at his feet as though a posture of worship. And she says the same thing that Martha does. Why? Because her heart is breaking and it didn't go the way that she had planned. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. She as well brings her disappointment, her frustration. She brings it to Jesus. She verbalizes it. Do you bring and verbalize your disappointment and your frustration to God the Father? Notice how our Savior responds when Jesus saw her weeping. And he saw the other people wailing with her. I mean, just think about that. There she is at his feet. She just breaks down. Like, if you had only been here, Jesus. And then she's thinking about her brother who's dead, who's passed. She just like, she's overwhelmed with grief. She is weeping there. And what happens to Jesus? A deep anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. We have a Savior that enters into our trouble, our hurt, our pain, our anger, our frustration. That's the kind of Savior that we have. Now, I wonder if there wasn't something bigger going on here in his mind, that as he entered into Mary's heart broken and her tears, I wonder if he wasn't thinking, how Lazarus really ended up dead? It wasn't just because he got some disease and died. He ended up dead because of sin. I wonder if in his mind, Jesus wasn't going back to when sin first entered into the garden. Because before that, we were created. Mankind was created to live in relationship with God. That was our purpose. And in the garden, just like the song we sang, Bring Me Back to the Garden. In that garden, we were walking hand in hand with God. And it wasn't until sin entered into that death came. Jesus is thinking about the thousands of years of that death had ravaged, that sin had ravaged, the hurt and the pain that had come into our lives because of sin. And there's this righteous anger that builds up in him as well as this weeping. And so what he does is he says, hey, where did you put him? And so they said, hey, come and see. And so on their way, don't miss this. Here's one Bible verse you all can memorize. Jesus wept, right? John 11:35. Every person should be able to memorize this Bible verse. It's two words. You can do it. Jesus wept. But it's so powerful. Again, we see that we have a Savior that enters into our hurt, our frustration, our disappointment. His heart breaks with us. What's broken your heart has broken our Savior's heart. Now, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, and then John describes what that tomb was. We think tombstone, written on. No, John tells us this was a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. And here's what Jesus says: roll the stone aside. But Martha, here's Martha's response to that. Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible again. Martha's trying to put her plan forth, her plan in the forefront. She's trying to work out her plan. You know what her plan was? She didn't want to remember her brother who had passed, but in the last image in her mind of being of the stench that would come off when that rock is rolled away, and that decay that had started to set in the body there. She didn't want that to be the last memory of her brother. And so she's like, no. And this is what's going to happen. But Jesus responds even to that and didn't didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you would believe? Do you believe, Martha? Do you believe, Rick? Do you believe? Do you believe that I am doing something? Martha, it's almost like Jesus is saying, Martha, if you would just trust me, there's something bigger here that's going to happen. There's something bigger here that I am working out. There's something, I know it has been years for some of you. I know the hurt has been, it's been year after year after year, year after year of disappointment, year after year of it not working out the way that you thought it was going to work out. But God, I'm telling you, if you can get yourself to the place where Martha has herself, she finally will come to the resolve that Jesus is working out His plan. I just need to submit to that plan. And that's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He just wants you to bring your plan into underneath His and let His plan reign. Let His plan rule. And here's what happens. And so they rolled the stone away. Martha was, she surrendered. She submitted. She was like, okay, whatever you say. And then Jesus looked up to heaven, and here was His prayer. Father, thank You for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of everybody that's listening around me so that they'll really believe that you know that I am who You say I am. Okay, and then Jesus shouted. Here's what He shouted. Lazarus, come out of there. And the dead man came out. The dead man came out. I wonder if Jesus isn't calling your name today. Maybe, again, you're at home and you're watching us at home, or maybe you're in your car or your office. Jesus is calling your name, and today could be the day that you come out. Today could be the day, if you're here in this room, today could be the day, if Jesus is calling your name, today you could go from death spiritually to life. Today could be your day. And that's why on your connection card for the very first next step, it says this. Pull out inside your bulletin, you have a connection card. On that connection card, it has next steps. If you're at home or watching online, there's a connection card link. Just click on that and look at the very first one. It says, I need to experience the miracle of salvation in my life. I profess that Jesus is the Messiah, my Savior. Do you need to do that today? If you would just respond with that connection card, or if it's easier for you to text, just text the word trust to 401-496-9710. If you would text that word trust to us, that will allow us to get your information. We'll respond back to you, and we will show up. We'll give you a Bible. We'll give you a reading plan. We want to help you on this spiritual journey, that this new life that Jesus wants to do in you. Now look back at that verse. The dead man came out. His hands and his feet were bound in grave clothes. His face was wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told him to go and unwrap him and let him go. You know what? Some of you have professed that Jesus is Messiah. Some of you, even though you have done that, you still feel the tension. Lazarus is standing there, and he's alive. He has life, but there's a lot of tension. He's all wrapped up. What are you wrapped up with when it comes to life? And that's what the other next step is about. I'm struggling with living in this tension of my plan versus God's plan. Rick, what you're saying here is you're saying, Rick, pray that I will demonstrate the faith of those in the teaching today. Pray that I have the faith that those disciples finally said, I'm going to come out of my comfort zone and I'm going to do Your plan. That you would have the faith that Martha and Mary had, that they just took their plan and they said, all right, whatever, we'll submit. We're going to bring my plan underneath the authority of Your plan. Whatever that is, if that is you, we want to pray for you. But then there's one last thing. You may say that I'm struggling, or I struggle thinking that Jesus can't do whatever, because it has been months or maybe even years for you. See, you need to see God. It really would be a miracle in your life. You've been praying for years. That's this thing, whatever this thing is. You've been praying for years. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't you stop praying. Keep on believing that God is just working out His plan. As you trust and as you believe, let's see what God will do. Again, if it's just easier for you to respond via your phone, text the word pray to the same phone number. Let us know how to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. In fact, we promise you, we will pray for you this week if you just let us know how.